Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from Ocho Rios, Jamaica, halfway between Montego Bay and Port Anthony, home of Duns River Falls, and also where most Jamaicans think Bob Marley is still alive and putting out new music, it's the Rebecca Roth Show, and with me is Rebecca Roth.
Hey, Ramjet, I love it. Jamaica, Jamaica, huh? Hey, Mon.
Jamaica me crazy. No problem, Mon.
No, BTR, Blog Talk Radio, Jamaica this crazy today. So just a quick explanation. We're sitting here all manned at our stations, our various locations, and the studio went down from Blog Talk Radio. And so we tried to reconnect. And we have good internet. Both of us have good internet where we are. But Blog Talk Radio just decided to cut it off. So what we found out is you could hear if you called in on the phone, but we couldn't tell if anything was happening. So we don't know if the archive was going to record or not, but we couldn't play any of our music off the studio. There was nothing working on the studio, so we figured probably nothing's working. We were kind of semi-connected, but not really.
Well, we couldn't hear each other. Yeah, that didn't help.
Exactly. And so what we just decided to do is to just record this, and then we'll upload it and put it on YouTube a little bit later on. And then we'll also upload it into Blog Talk Radio for tomorrow, so it will be in the archives, too. So sorry about that. I don't know. I know I've got a lot of complaints from people about Blog Talk Radio and the sound quality is not that hot, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we're not into this we're not singing. We're not into necessarily the top quality. Somebody wanted us to have video cameras at our location so they could see us and craziness.
You mean like a Ditto Cam?
Yeah, Ditto Cam, yeah. And so, and we're not like Rush Limbaugh. We don't want to be a Rush Limbaugh. We just want to, you know,
get
the information. It's not about us. It's not about what we eat or who we are or what we look like or if we're fat or old or gray or if we wear glasses and you don't like them, I don't care. I literally have had people come at me with, they don't like my hair, they don't like my glasses. Well, I'm really sorry, but I don't dress for you. So I just wonder if they go up to other grandmothers on the street and say that. I was like, hey, lady, I don't like your looks. I don't like your glasses. They're out of fashion. Well, they work. So if you don't like it, I'm really sorry for you. But one thing I found out is with a degree of celebrity like this, just that we're not into this to be celebrities, but just so happens that we have a lot of people listening and a lot of people enjoy the show. So, you know, but with that comes the downside of those trolls and crazy people that make all these crazy accusations. So, no, we're probably not going to waste money on a studio camera or two cameras for where we are or what we're doing or what we're wearing, you know. I know, and I think back when I got that email from somebody that wanted us to have a camera on our studio or whatever, wherever we're at, thought, oh my goodness, remember those weeks I had pneumonia? I didn't look the best. You would not have wanted to see me on camera, trust me. But this gives us the ability to hopefully do a show, get it uploaded to you, and kind of continue on. So.
Well, fortunately, we have a backup plan. And we are in a position today where we can do something about it, which wasn't necessarily the case a month ago or whenever it was that, you know, it just blew us right out of the water. I am very frustrated with Blog Talk. You know, I have used them before, and you would think that over the years that they would get better, and they don't.
Yeah, well, they keep always saying, I know for, you know, 3 or 4 years, they've been, we're upgrading, but it doesn't ever come together. So, well, we might look for an alternative and switch things out a little bit. Well, let me just give you a quick update on the books, because that's what most of my emails are now. When's the book done? I just got one from someone the other day. Hey, did we print that out? That one I asked you to print out from somebody about the email that I got an email from someone who is actually thanking me for writing the book as a novel, and I thought this was kind of cool. So I did print it out here. It says, thank you for, I had to explain to him about blog talk and stuff. So anyway, he says that he's just finishing reading the book. He says, I just want to tell you how well I think you've written these books. I especially like how you weaved a love story into the books, and I thought that was just exceptional, and it gave the book something that was fun in a story that really isn't fun or funny at all. The seriousness of what really happened on 9/11, I just felt like it took the edge off of a very intense story of reality. On another subject, let's say I'm wondering if I've had any death threats. I want to know if I've had any death threats on my life. But I thought this
Yes, I've threatened to kill you many times.
That's why you're in Jamaica, Mon.
No problem, Mon.
So anyway, it's kind of a cute thing, but you know, I've had lots of hate mail too from people that say, well, why didn't you write this as a nonfiction, blah blah blah. You'll get yours too. And again, all of this information has been out there. It's been offered to people, a terabyte of Freedom of Information Act data. I can't tell you, you know, the old saying, a needle in a haystack, it doesn't fit. It's more like a needle in lots of haystacks, a terabyte of Freedom of Information Act data. Here's what happens. This is the FAA. Some of it's NORAD, mostly U.S. government FAA stuff. But their files under different names with the same information, or if you look real close or print them out, which kind of what I do sometimes, and compare them side by side, there's something missing out of one or something added to one or something like that. It's just so time-consuming.
You know, in The Methodical Deception, there's a character in there called Bob, and Bob has this really crazy filing system he uses, and really that, I think, you did as a takeoff of the Freedom of Information Act, just to be kind of align, you know, yourself
exactly
to the fact that, you know, this is how nuts this is, because I've seen some of these Freedom of Information Act files, and, you know, you open them and they give you information and they lead you off in another direction, but there is no rhyme, reason, or sequence to where you've gone or how to get back. And so it really is kind of indicative of Bob's filing system.
Well, it is. It's one of those, if you really knew me and if you really knew all the stuff I've uncovered, you would know every little thing. And even details about persons, little characters in the story, are relating back to something very, very real. And, yeah, Bob's filing system is kind of my mockery of the Freedom of Information Act data that's in the external hard drive I have. And it's just so nuts. But good news is the cover art is done. The editing is continuing on, and that should be complete here in the next couple weeks. Waiting still on a prototype of the box to do a box set for the three books in softback, I think only. I don't know that many people would want to buy a set of hardbacks, but
I think you'll sell them a set of hardbacks. They just won't come in a box.
Yeah, they won't come in a box. But you know how softbacks, you know, they can kind of fit in a nice little box like a sleeve. And so just waiting on that. And I've got some bookmarks. So the third book is going to come with bookmarks. And I'm also going to put them in the store. If you'd like to give them out to people to suggest, they'll have all three books and all the information for the, you know, shows and the YouTube channels and stuff like that. And so that'll be kind of fun. I'll just sell them probably by the dozen or so. And we're just waiting to
And they'll be practically free. It's just cover the shipping, really.
Exactly. And that won't be very much because they're, you know, 2-inch by 8-inch bookmarks. But they're going to be really cool, and they're just kind of a nice way to introduce somebody or leave them around the ladies' room when you leave. I don't know. Leave them wherever you want someone to pick them up that might have questions about 9/11, that might wake up from, you know, reading the books. because they certainly are. I mean, I get so many emails every week from people that just like, I gave this to my, you know, my mother, my brother, my son, my whatever. And they are so wide awake now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So that's always exciting. I love getting those emails. But it looks right now where I'm waiting on all these people and everything coming together like a big poof, crescendo at the end. Ta-da! I think it'll all be around the end of June, maybe possibly the first week of July, but I'm still really thinking that everything will come together by the end of June for this book. And let's see. Well, I've got this new little blog out, but I don't have a little button connected to my other websites, but I will have. So you go on to methodicalillusion.com, methodicaldeception.com, or RebeccaRoth.com, I'll put a button on there that'll click me over to this blog, and it's kind of fun, and I've got some, you know, comments available, and if you want to ask some questions, you can, and you know, to me, I just want it to be kind of a tight little group of people, and if you have questions, if you're a troll, you're going to get aced out real quickly, so don't even go there, okay? Let's see. That's it on the book update, and also a quick update on Egypt Air, because I follow these things because I can't help it. They have found what they believe to be the black box pings, and they found them 3 or 4 days ago. And for certain, they're pretty certain that that's what they're hearing, and so they've got some equipment coming in the next couple days, and they hope to have that pinpointed. Now, usually that's going to be in that large tail section of the aircraft. So usually they find both the cockpit voice recorder and the data recorder. And remember, last week we were talking about the ELT, the emergency locator transmitter button. Also, you know, in case you are curious, in our life rafts or in the aircraft itself, there are these emergency locator transmitters. So, like, if we do a ditching in the water, we can pull this thing. It's a big orange, it kind of looks like a radio, but it's really huge, and it's a long tubular thing, and it's water-activated. And so it's another type of transmitter, or electronic locator. So looks like they're finding this wreckage from the Egypt Air flight. And I think it's been very interesting that this week they squeaked out this little bit of information just 2 days ago, and not much has been said about it since, because I really do look into this every day. They have discovered that that aircraft had ACARS warnings of mechanical issues 3 times in the 24 hours leading up to the accident. Now, they don't want to tell you that because they really are pushing terrorism, because that's what this is all about. But it looks like it was probably a mechanical or quite possibly something more devious, like a laser weapon from space or something. So something we don't even know about that exists. And also in my Facebook group, I posted a little article the other day about DARPA and this new space plane that's been up there flying around. And lo and behold, if it is some really high-tech space weaponry too. So coincidental, I know. It's been up there for a couple of years, off and on.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I get the impression they really don't want to find these black boxes.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
I mean, you know, you mentioned that they heard the pings 3 days ago. I mean, come on. This is the Mediterranean. You know, this isn't the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it can be pretty deep there. But remember that the, the 6th Fleet, the NATO drill, the huge drill called the Phoenix Express to 2016, was going on right there, south of Greece, right not too far away. And one of the things they were practicing in the drill was search and rescue. So, hello, they should have had lots of ships out there for that type of thing, for that big, huge NATO drill. And by the way, I posted that in my Facebook group, and about a day or two later, it was removed, and that was from a Navy military site.
Well, the other thing is being in the Mediterranean, you're surrounded by all these first world countries mm-hmm. that have the technology and the kinds of things that are necessary to find this. And, you know, the Mediterranean just isn't that big. It's not like they were mm-hmm. looking for MH370 out in the, you know, Pacific, and you're, you know, a gazillion miles away from civilization for the most part.
Well, that's true.
And you had to fly things in. I mean, this stuff is there. And here it's been 3 days since I heard the ping. and they still don't have the black boxes. And my gut just tells me they really don't want to find them.
Yeah, you can kind of tell when you listen to those CIA guys on CNN when they're talking to, well, they just want it to be terrorism so bad. So one of the things we're going to kind of scooch on into and talk about is this terrorism and how they're lining things up for this year. And, you know, I know it's been crazy because I'm, you know, wrapped up in this book, but I really want to get together and do a show and maybe a couple shows. I've got a gal who's a nurse who to do a show. And so have you even get some stuff, and she says, this, a lot of this stuff can be found at a dollar store. You don't have to go and spend a lot of money, but you do need to get ready. And so when we're talking about some of the stuff that we see today, we're talking about how headlines are leading us to believe what's going on, keeping in mind that you see literally a complete lawlessness around a presidential campaign for Donald Trump. You don't see this for Bernie, and you don't see it for Hillary. You just see it for Donald Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump wants to make America great again. What is wrong with that? Anybody that hates Donald Trump or hates making America great again needs to leave. They are the enemy of the state, truly. I mean, this is our country. But here's what's happening. The elite, the cabal, they want to get rid of all nationalism. That's why they hate Donald Trump. So if you're out there thinking he's a Zionist, you're totally wrong. Because the Zionist-owned and controlled media in the United States absolutely hates him. You saw what Megyn Kelly did to him. She lost so much of her audience, and Fox News in general lost so much audience, that she's, you know, had to practically start dating him to get him back and swoon him into her her little web of deception, because she is a devious. Saw the real Megyn Kelly in that couple of those debates. The real, true Megyn slipped out. And maybe it was she had a cocktail. I don't know. Maybe she just got loose lips to sink her ship, but she definitely did. And her ratings went completely down. She was down there by Rachel Maddow. But poor Megyn Kelly. I know she was on the verge of losing her jobs, too. So here we've got this election coming up. We've got two people running polar opposite: Bernie Sanders, the socialist, and Donald Trump, the man who has worked his behind off and still is to this day. I mean, I look at how much he's flying, and I know he's sitting there in a nice leather chair and having some people serve him food. But still, when you spend that much time in an aircraft, it doesn't matter if you're deadheading, if you're riding around as a passenger, or if you're working flight attendant, it is hard on your system. It's hard on your body. It's draining. It's tiring. It's dry air. It's dehydrating. It's not good for your health. And he just keeps on going. He just reminds me of the Energizer Bunny. And you've got him out there representing a man who wants to make this country great again, because somebody in the last 8 years has done a damn good job of destroying it. And if you doubt that, go look at what's going on in California right now at all of these campaign speeches that are being given. Not one protester at a Hillary Clinton, Democrat, or Bernie Sanders, Democrat. Neither one of them are saying we want to make America great again. They like it the way it is. Screwed up. 94 million people out of the workforce. I saw that last week on Drudge Report. So.
Yeah, I heard this week where the unemployment rate had dropped below 5%.
Yeah, because everybody's been out of work for so darn long. It's just crazy. So one of the things I want to talk about is the potential, because I'm getting email from people that have their spidey senses like mine. Their potential now for something to happen. To stop the election, to stop Trump being inaugurated, to stop whatever, because they love Bernie and Hillary. They, the Zionist-controlled media, they hate Donald Trump. The only reason they like to have him on, and Megyn Kelly likes to have him on, is because we'll all turn on and watch, because we love to hear what he says. We love the way he handles the media. He's the guy who's out there saying stuff. I have had three emails this week that says, wow, did you know Donald Trump personally? Joel Sherman in your book, the President of the United States in my book, is so much like Donald Trump. Well, I think that too. And I know that Trump has probably a dozen or more copies of my book. Because I know people, including retired airline pilots, that have sent them, along with letters, about the remote control system, about the 757, various other things, and giving him a heads up to please read this book. And, you know, I think being a man who's been building skyscrapers, he probably is pretty intuitive to something very wrong happened on 9/11. It wasn't quite right. So we have to look at things now as we look at the headlines that are setting up. One that I posted in my Facebook group was, I'm just going to paraphrase it here, was basically the United States is telling Russia to not attack Al-Qaeda in Syria. Why? Because that's us. Really, Al-Qaeda, that's who they told us was behind 9/11. Remember Osama bin Laden? But what they didn't tell us was Osama bin Laden was a CIA asset known as Tim Osman. And that if you look, and you can quickly Google search this, Tim Osman, Osama bin Laden with, I forgot the guy's name, Brzezinski. Zbigniew Zabrinsky.
Mika's dad.
Brzezinski. And there you all see pictures of them together in the mid-80s in Afghanistan. And that's when the CIA hired them to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan in the mid-80s. And that's when it all started. And so we created Al-Qaeda. And now we're asking Russia, who's been over there bombing them, hey, lay low on Al-Qaeda. They're us. So it's kind of interesting if you look at the headlines, and you're going to see a lot of stuff if you open those little peepers and start to see the truth. And, you know, I tell people this, and this is truly what happened to me because I was living in that fog too. I was clueless. I never dreamed that our government would be a part of the 9/11 fiasco. I just couldn't. I've ran into so much stuff now that I can't even believe that. Well, let me just say this. I said this to Ramjet earlier this week when we connected. When people read book three, they are not going to think that this is based on real, true, live documents. They're going to think this can't be real. Because I'm thinking it as I'm writing the novel but delivering the information and going through these government documents and the FOIA data. I just shake my head. Sometimes I have to walk away from my computer and go, I cannot believe what I'm finding. Well, someone said to me, air traffic controller, I can't believe you're not dead.
Well, it's really so.
Thank you.
It's so amazing that, you know, I've had to talk you into writing a author's note at the beginning about the book. And, yeah, the characters are fictitious, but the things that go on around them are not. And that's the part that people are going to have a hard time believing, because it's just so unimaginable that the government would be involved in, and not just the government, the military in particular and the CIA specifically are involved in doing these kinds of things that, you know, it'll just zing over somebody's head and they'll say, oh, that's a cute little book.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, what you basically will say, I assume, I don't know if you've written this or not yet, but, you know, you'll say something to the effect of, you know, read the book, recognize that the characters are made up, and mostly they're made up just to protect people,
mm-hmm.
more so than anything else. They may be certainly based on real characters, but the aspects of the 9/11 parts in the book really did happen, and that's where she's got information that's come out of the FOIA documents that nobody else has, because nobody else who has the FOIA documents knows how to read them. And Rebecca didn't know how to read them, but God provided and found people for her that would help her understand what it was she was reading. And I have to say that, you know, she has gotten pretty good to the point where, you know, she could almost be an air traffic controller now.
That's funny, because a retired pilot I've connected with from a different airline that I didn't work for, But yet somehow one that's somewhat connected to this ordeal. And I sent some documents to him. And it's like, how did you, never mind. He asked me, how did you learn all this? I said, you know, I originally when I was in high school, thought I wanted to be an air traffic controller. So I said, I've come full circle. I've literally been online teaching myself air traffic control lingo. But I do have some air traffic controllers that are around that I can connect with, too, and that have been incredible sources of help and assistance, as being able to see things and to look for things. Because once you know what you're looking for, that's what they said to me when they came on board. Well, once you told me what happened to the planes, once you told me where they landed, how they were landed, then I know what to do, what to look for. So we can look for what was covered up, where it was covered up, when it was covered up. And so we have all this information, and it gives you eyes to see. What happened to me after I first discovered all of this information for the first two books was it was like a veil lifted for me, and I started to see through headlines. And when I saw these headlines saying things like ISIS terrorists coming over the southern border, well, for 2 years we've seen this. And, before that it was Al-Qaeda or just Middle Eastern boogeymen. But you have to ask yourself, listen, let's get a reality check going here. We are a superpower. So you're telling me that this group of, 800 that now grew into, well, Russia said the other day they've killed 28,000 and they're still multiplying like cockroaches. I don't know how, it's magical how they do it. But they went from 800 to 30,000 in a matter of months, a few months. And so now we see these headlines, which is really weird, that they're coming across the southern border. Well, since 9/11, they haven't done a thing to close our border, to strengthen our border, to look closely at anybody coming across. They've done just the opposite. As a matter of fact, where we are right now, it's so insane that we have a sheriff in Arizona, Joe Arpaio, whom I've met actually in person, lovely gentleman, doing his work. And when he picks up an illegal, it doesn't matter if what they are. It doesn't matter if they're from the Middle East, to South America, Central America, Mexico. It doesn't matter. If they're not legal, his job is to put them in jail and get them out of the country to give them to ICE. Well, ICE is letting them free. And so he's very frustrated. Well, the government is suing him for doing his job. And the Border Patrol, who are now supporting Donald Trump, the same thing. They're getting beat up by the federal government for doing their work, for doing their job. That's just insane. Now, why would they do that? Here you have these headlines. This last week, I mean, we've seen them. If you just look at Drudge, I like Drudge because you can read lots of different headlines from lots of different places. Some of them are alternative, but most of it's, from AP and Reuters and regular mainstream stuff. But you can kind of get an idea of where they want you to think, what they want you to think or what they want you to fear. And so all of this ISIS coming over the border stuff, well, why in the world do they hate Donald Trump? Because he wants to build a wall on that border. You have to ask yourself that. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Come on, we're a superpower. We want to. We can put the clamp down on that border and the northern border so quickly.
I have said this before. There are a lot of things about Donald Trump that I don't particularly care for. However, one of the things that really, really bothers me is when he is holding these various rallies and you've got people from the United States, theoretically, that are waving foreign flags. If you look at that realistically, that's like an invasion from a foreign country. If you've got Mexican flags waving and you're burning the United States mm-hmm. flag, you're being overrun by a foreign country. So the question is, what do you intend to do about it? And Donald Trump is the only one who has an idea of what it is he wants to do about it.
Yeah,
he wants to keep them out.
He wants to interview people coming into this country. If they're Muslim, if they're Christian, if they're Mexican, if they're South American, he wants to interview them, make sure they're good people. Because we have a lot of people, 94 million, that are unemployed here. We have a lot of people that would like to have a job and that could do a job. And so why are we bringing all these refugees in and why are we allowing all this to happen? Well, you remember after 9/11, the thing that just fascinated me, the patsy, the scapegoat, was the FBI wasn't communicating with the CIA, remember? And so Bush came out and said, hey, we got to tighten this up a little bit because all these government agencies aren't speaking to each other. So what did he do? He built this gigantic other agency, the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm going to give a little tell here, a little reveal in the third book. Rebecca has figured out that the FBI and the CIA were talking, and were talking pretty well to one another, and that'll be brought out in some of the things that she's discovered. So, again, that was a lie. They were well in bed with each other, or certain aspects of them were communicating very profusely in some cases, but the lie perpetrated the ability to formulate Homeland Security and put everything under one roof, which then goes all again to help destroy the Constitution.
There you go. And that's really what this is all about. This whole 9/11 attack, this was just, and remember they had the Patriot Act all ready to go. It was one of the quickest laws ever run through the Washington, D.C. in our history of our country because it was already written. And so, you see, we've got all this stuff in place. Now it's the NDAA. And, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, we were talking about, you know, warning issues and things that, you know, we should be aware of. And one of the articles I read this week dealt with Russia and, you know, the deterioration of détente, if you will, between the United States and Russia. And essentially, it was a warning. And it gave a little history of what happens when Russia is attacked. They looked at Napoleon going in there, and the next thing you know, Russia is into Paris, destroying things. You looked at Hitler taking them on in World War II and killing, you know, many of their people. And then who was it that basically was the ones that were into Hitler's bunker first? At the end of World War II, it was the Russians. They don't give up. And that was the gist of the article, that as these relationships deteriorate and that NATO is, you know, wrapping themselves around the Russian border for the most part, if they are attacked in any way, they will destroy us. Now, you know, I had some problems with the article in the sense that, you know, I thought it was a little bit overblown, but it was essentially a warning to the United States and the Western world, Europe in particular, that don't screw with us, because if you do, you will lose. And one of the things that, you know, I found that, you know, I had not heard this for quite some time about the dead hand control, meaning that if, you know, Russia is attacked and all of their, you know, leaders are taken out at a first nuclear strike, it automatically will send off their nuclear weapons to Europe and the United States in total destruction mode. And that is troublesome.
That would be the end of the planet as we know it. And as we are speaking here, I'm surrounded by four computers. And on one of them is the Drudge Report breaking news. A Secret Service agent has written a book and that it is rocking the Clinton campaign. And this is a blue light coming off Drudge. So it'll be interesting. Also, I looked down right below that. It says Hillary has her coughing fit returns. And so it looks like things are falling apart for Hillary. I don't know. She's such an elitist, and she's so controlled by the people who hate Donald Trump and that own the media that it's just pathetic. If we don't take our country back this time, we will never. You could all just say goodbye to everyone right now. No, just like, seriously, if we don't take it back with this election and get someone who has the heart and the desire to make this country great again, to return this country to the greatness we knew in the 50s and the 60s and even the early 70s, we're going to see what you see at a Donald Trump rally when you go to a grocery store or go out to a movie or a ball game. That's your yard. It's going to happen to you. Donald Trump doesn't need to be there. If we don't remove those people and teach them how to behave as Americans civilized society, that is your new America right there. Under Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, you're going to have that when you just want to go to the grocery store and pick up some bread and milk. You're going to have those illegals right there with their illegal weapons and their nastiness in their eggs and their guns and their knives and all of that stuff. So that would be your new America. So to me, it's either Donald Trump and Hope for America, or we've just lost it. We might as well let Russia nuke us, because there will be nothing left, really, seriously. But the concern about this, and why we were actually kind of talking about Russia, is that there are people in the White House and in the Obama administration, these 25, 30-year-old lunatics that are running the State Department, that want to first strike Russia. And so you see all this stuff, all this buildup over there by NATO along the borders and Poland and Brussels and all of that area over there where they're doing all these major drills and all this stuff, and Russia's not happy about it. And we're sending tons of armament over there, jacking up NATO. And things are really hot. But, you know, if you watch TV, it's all about the Kardashians. It's all about, you know, the sports and the playoffs and all of that. And ISIS coming across the border. And yet nobody wonders why we aren't closing that border. Why? Oh, we just need a patsy. And you're going to have a patsy, and it's going to be anybody from the Middle East that they can point their finger at, just like with 9/11, what they did. Now, here, let me just say this, because I keep getting email about this. The 28 pages, the 28 redacted pages from the 9/11 Commission report point to the Israeli Mossad involvement in the footnotes. It is probably not going to be soon that we are going to see those, unless they completely rewrite them and remove those footnotes. Because if they point to the truth of who was really involved, and that's who I found in a major way, they're not there alone, trust me, but they were majorly involved. So I say to this, I think Saudi Arabia just should get those guys that are still alive. There's at least 10 of them, and I think at least 8 of those are Saudi citizens that were falsely accused of being 9/11 hijackers. If you look on Wikipedia, they're still showing their picture. Four, at least, or maybe five, are airline pilots for Saudi Air and Air Tunisia and Air Morocco or Moroccan Air. And so they are Saudi citizens, so Saudi can find them easily and say, hey, let's go, let's make a TV show. Let's show America who the hijackers really were. Because Saudi Arabia is out there now saying, and now you won't see this on the mainstream media, but you don't have to go very far off track to find it, that the United States blew up the World Trade Center towers. And they know. Now remember, this is the thing that woke me up, was when I found that a bunch of the hijackers were still alive, they were Saudi citizens, and that the Saudi government was really angry, and they were threatening to sue the FBI. Even the head of the FBI claimed later on that, and Ashcroft, claimed later on that, well, maybe it was a case of mistaken identity. Maybe they were stolen identity. Maybe that's not who they really were. But they're going down in history still unless we do something to change it. And I think Saudi Arabia should just march those guys out, don't you? I think so. I think it'd be good. So, anyway, we're kind of looking at,
you know, it would be good, but, you know, at this point, I'm not sure it would matter. I mean, the people of this country are so brainwashed as to what they think happened that day that I'm not sure what you could possibly do to change a country. Now, you know, we're trying to change people one at a time by, you know, bringing the truth to light, and it's working to, you know, some degree, but, you know, we certainly haven't convinced the entire country that the planes landed in Westover. But I don't know what you could possibly do to get people to go back and rethink.
Well, you know, for me, it was just discovering that those guys were still alive. So,
yes, but you're intelligent.
Well, that's true. Which leads me to this. I'd written myself a little note before the show, and I just might as well mention it right now. You know, I'm not like like the smartest person in the world, but I do like to do research. I like to do lots of research. I should have probably been a scientist like some of those people thought I was, but I'm not. I just like to research stuff. But just a word of warning, everything on the internet, I hate to burst your bubble, isn't real or true. I'm not a CIA agent that's out there on the internet by some troll, crazy lunatic. I'm also not a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old blonde chemist or any of those other crazy things. But please remember that things on the internet or memes, for crying out loud, on Facebook, if you see somebody's picture and lettering words over it, it doesn't make it real or true. It's a meme. And somebody can do that to other people just to destroy them. I've had trolls do that to me. Make pictures with my face and put lies in front of it and throw it around social media. From Truth Frequency Radio, people have done that. So please, when you start going out there and reading things and you start to do your research, remember that alternative media is as bad or worse, because they can say anything about anyone with no repercussions or no fear of being sued. Where if you are Fox News or you're CBS or ABC or NBC or some big network, you're going to get sued to do this.
Yeah, well, who's going to go to the trouble to sue somebody that lives in their mommy's basement?
Well, that's true. And a lot of the trolls that have attacked me are such losers that they're felons. One's in jail, soon to be prison. And a couple more are headed that way if they continue, because what they're doing, this cyberstalking, is illegal. But when you're doing your research, remember that there are really reliable and unreliable websites. And there are people out here that are crazy, and they're just writing all kinds of stuff. Someone sent me something the other day that was so nonsensical that I read it, and I was like, okay, this reads like this pilot that has a website that he stole a Pentagon name and changed the spelling a little bit. And I read this stuff before, and the other airline pilot said, steer clear of this guy because he's crazy. Well, that's exactly where I think it came from, was the same crazy lunatic. It's just because someone puts it on the internet doesn't make it true or real. So keep going. Keep looking. Find out how valid different websites are. There are some that are out there that are satire, and you'll see the headlines and you'll think, oh my gosh, and I see people falling for it hook, line, sinker, tackle, and boat, and cooler full of beer. It's all gone. They went into it. They bought all of it, hook, line, and sinker. It's just crazy. I mean, so start thinking for yourself. Start doing a little research and keep your eyes and ears open for the fact that just because it's a meme, that just means someone went on Photoshop and took somebody's picture and stuck words over it. That's not real. It's not even necessarily what someone feels or thinks or does for a living or are. I mean, I have been personally attacked by people doing stuff like that, and it's nonsense. So please be careful. You'll see it a lot with Hillary. You'll see it a lot with Bernie. You'll see it a lot. I mean, yeah, Bernie wants to give everybody something free, but, you know, what was it? Margaret Thatcher told us, eventually you're going to run out of other people's money. And that's what's happening now. But here's where I want to just touch on in this last 20 minutes or so, what we see happening in our very near future. You see California on Tuesday, we're going to have this big election, primary election in California. It can make or break Hillary, and she's got some... This book is called The Crisis of Character. A White House Secret Service officer discloses his firsthand experience with Hillary, Bill, and how they operate, by Gary Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. This is breaking on Drudge. This is not going to help Hillary win California. But, you know, most people think, and I believe they probably are, that the voting machines are probably pretty well rigged in her favor. But it's going to be interesting to see, because what happens if Bernie does win California, or maybe he wins close to 50% of the delegates. They're getting awful close. She's only ahead because of superdelegates right now. So the conventions are in the month of July. Next month starts the conventions. And you never know what the Republicans are going to do, because we've got all those neocon Zionists running that party that hate Donald Trump. They want to put some, magazine writer in as a third party or some crazy nonsense. And Bill Kristol, now he's a project for New American Century, PNAC signer. He's a planner of 9/11. You know, that's the paper, the people in the paper that they asked for. They called out a need for a new Pearl Harbor. so that we could rally the people together behind these pre-planned wars in the Middle East. Looking back 15 years later, our eyesight is 20/20. And we can see that. And you can Google search it, PNAC, PNAC, Project for New American Century, and put signers there, and you'll even see Jeb Bush signed it too, and Dan Quayle, and lots of other names you see coming on TV as experts on every subject. So we have now issues going on with our economy. We have 94 million people out of the job force. We have floods of immigrants coming in, illegal mostly. But we also have refugees that are coming in because we've blown up their country. So we have those people we have to let in because, after all, that's what America's all about, right? And then we've got our economy on the verge, and we have literally lit a fire under Saudi Arabia. And the media doesn't want to talk about it too much because it connects to 9/11. It connects to the 28 pages. It connects to the truth about 9/11, that the United States government was behind this and their buddies in the Mossad in Israel. So if the Saudi Arabian government comes out and they have a ton, billions of dollars worth of bonds, and they own a lot of this country, and they come back and get a little antsy, they can really create an economic collapse here. And so we've got a November election coming up. We've got July, and we've got August, and we've got a anniversary of 9/11, which would be a prime time to claim that all of these guys they've been letting over the southern border from Middle East, all of these guys that somehow managed to find the money for an airplane ticket, because it's very expensive to fly from the Middle East anywhere to Mexico or the United States or Europe, actually. So it's very expensive. So who's paying for their ticket? And they're obviously having to fly into Mexico. So who's handling the Mexican government? They're going to look and say, oh, we don't need a passport. We don't need a visa. Oh, you're just going to sneak across the border to the United States? All right, but that's not how it works. Mexico's very, very strict, like most countries used to be, about immigration and how this country used to be about immigration. So you can see that there's all kinds of stuff lining up before November or December and January, because in January, we're going to get a new president put in the White House. And so you can see that the powers that be want to stop making America great, and they want to stop Donald Trump. They're promoting Hillary Clinton, and it doesn't look good for Hillary. And the other option is Bernie, and we are going to run out of other people's money probably within the first 100 days of his presidency, because we don't have any money. We're in debt. Because remember, all wars are bankers' wars. Who are the bankers? Take a look. Do a little research, because that's where you really figure out all the stuff starts coming together for you. You start to understand, why did we pick on these particular countries to go in and bomb the living bejesus out of these people? These are the refugees that are coming here now. Well, we've bombed them out of their house and home, and their country is ruined, and their economy is ruined. So we're bringing them all here. Our country's ruined, too. So you see what's happening. We've got these next few months, July, August, September, October, November's the election. Then we got December and January. So we got about 7 months where just about anything could happen, and it could be blamed on the people coming over the southern border, ISIS. You know, those people that don't have a country. Are they from any country? Are there anybody we want them to be? They're multifaceted boogeymen. Basically, Al-Qaeda, we learned when we created Al-Qaeda, said, well, we can just go in and bomb every country in the Middle East because we can say Al-Qaeda's in there. Same thing, same as going on with ISIS now. So just pay attention to all of that jazz. And when you're, you know, out there, try to see what the media, who's controlled by the CIA, is wanting you to think, or what they're wanting you to fear. Because really, remember this, and look back on 9/11, how you felt, how I felt, how everyone felt. When you saw the people jumping out of the towers, when you saw the plane flying into the building over and over, when you saw this horror, you saw this stuff, and you felt vulnerable, and you felt scared, and you didn't know who the enemy was, and you were so scared that when they said, yeah, that aluminum plane flew right into that steel and concrete building, you believed it. I did. I know you did too. And most everybody did until they started to think and get out of that fear. So if you're living in fear, and if, for goodness sakes, if you're fearing people because of their religion, then you've been brainwashed. And it's not your fault. Turn off the TV. Stop listening to Fox News. Stop listening to that. Movies are not reality. I mean, it's like people are, you know, trying to figure out what's going on in my book. Grace wasn't real, for instance. Vera isn't real. These are just people that I created to deliver the story to you. I didn't really lose a friend to a murder in Paris. That's just part of the novel to help you understand what happens to a flight attendant and a flight crew when there is something like that. We've had, you know, crew members be murdered or hit by a car or killed from a, you know, accident, walking off a street curb in a busy city and on a layover, and boom, get hit and killed. Well, what happens when there's just enough of us to fly the airplane from A to B, and while we're at A and we're going to return to B, we lose a crew member, or a couple of them get sick with the flu and are incapacitated. There are things that happen. That's why I put that in there, so you understand what happens, because when Gracie got murdered, you know, it left her not being able to work her return flight, and Vera Hansen, the main character, had to stay with her because somebody had to, as she was the one who found the body. So police made her. But something like that can happen. Then the crew is now two people short. So if the airplane's full of passengers, they're not going to be happy because they're not going to get real good service if they are have enough people to be a legal crew but not enough people to give really great service. And so stuff like that happens. And so, you know, when I wanted to write this book, the first book, I wanted people to get into the inside life of a flight attendant. I didn't know I was going to write about 9/11 until I found those guys were still alive. And I quite frankly think that if Saudi Arabia really did parade those guys out on television, YouTube, whatever, everywhere, that it would be a game changer. The whole world would come literally to a stop. People would go, what? Because that's what happened to me. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not writing a novel. I'm going to do some research. How in the heck did I miss this? And it was really, it was out there on BBC. It's not like it was hidden. It wasn't just on Alex Jones or some alternative crazy radio show on Blog Talk like we are. It was on the BBC. I was like, that's kind of like real news to me.
Hey, what are you talking about? We're cutting edge. I have a cutting edge story. Richard Simmons was hospitalized for bizarre behavior last night. My question is, how would you know?
How would you know? I was just exactly what I was. My mind did the same thing. How would you know Richard Simmons was acting bizarre? I want everybody to be really, really careful of this coming. I mean, really, I look at it this way. If we get through the next couple of days, and we start into July, I can't remember. The Republican convention is near the end of July. Do you recall when is the Democrat one?
I think it's early October or August, right after Labor Day.
Oh, is it in August? It's not in July? I thought they were both in July.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another month of craziness. Now, because you know that if they give this thing to Hillary, all of those Bernie people that want those free everything, they're going to go crazy.
Well, Hillary still suffers under the pale of indictment. I mean, that could still happen. I mean, this Inspector General report that came out from the State Department this last week was devastating, and it was hilarious to watch her try to cover her butt. I mean, cover her, what was the word? Hotel Papa. anyway, cover herself and present that in a way that, you know, people would believe her. And again, nobody believed her, and it's just going to get worse. And I also noticed sometime today where the judge in the civil case against with Freedom Watch trying to get the Freedom of Information Act from the State Department, he ordered her server guy, Pagliano, or whatever his name is, to show his immunity agreement that he has with the FBI, which will ultimately then go public. And it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. Now, this new book you talk about, That's not going to be out until towards the end of June, actually.
Oh, so it's not going to...
But I mean,
the headline's devastating.
Yeah, the headline is devastating, and it will probably continue to be and will build in that sense. So, there's a real question as to what it is that's going to happen in the Democratic convention. I think that's one of the reasons Bernie's hanging on is because it's just unsure as to what's happened. Now, I heard rumors last week, too, that Biden may be the one that comes in on the white horse and rescues everybody. Well, the Democrats know what that's like. I mean, after Robert Kennedy was killed in June after the California primary, I mean, he basically had the nominations sewed up. You know, they needed a white horse to come in, and they got Hubert Humphrey to do it, and, you know, that didn't go well.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, Trump's not going to get through, even though maybe he's got enough delegates. I mean, he doesn't have the support that, you know, necessarily is required to, win the election. And you've got two of the most unpopular people in the history of all elections. So it's really going to be interesting. And as a result, anything could happen. And when I say anything, I'm not talking about election. I'm talking about what could happen around the periphery that Rebecca is talking about with regards to devastating consequences to throw more chaos into something that's already a hectic, chaotic situation.
Exactly. And, you know, I remember when I was reading this the other day, I remember on 9/11, and I'm not from New York, so pardon me if I'm misspoken, but there was a primary election going on that day. That was a Tuesday, and there was a primary in New York. Now, I don't recall if it was a city mayor type thing, mayor. Some local New York City, and they canceled it. And so, you know, of course, for me, I look at everything through eyes that, well, what happened on 9/11? When I look at somebody or I see somebody on TV, I sit with my laptop. I'm like, well, where were they on 9/11? What were they doing? Who were they a part of? Because they're all related to something on the backside that of the dirt pile that I've uncovered. They almost every single person I see on television, without exception, I can trace back to somebody that was either involved with one of the companies that later on became involved or is being finger pointed to right now. And I'm finding documents like, oh, wow, well, now they're on TV. For 15 years we've been listening to them as an expert. Or they're CIA now expert. It's like, they don't even hide that. Even Anderson Cooper was a CIA intern. I mean, CNN. So CNN or CIA really does manipulate your mind through the television. You have to understand that. So when you're looking at headlines, you want to look, well, what do they want me to think? What are they, how are they nudging me to go in one direction? Now, they want me to hate somebody because of their religion? Do you want me to doubt someone from the other side of the world that I've never left Tennessee or I've never left Kentucky and I've never gone there and seen them, but I'll believe what they say because it's on TV? Well, TV's lying. TV's lying to you. And I guess one of the best ways to go find out is to travel. Not that it's fun anymore, but if you don't get out and you really meet other people, then you will believe whatever the TV tells you. So, unfortunately, when you have an economy that's crashing down like us, with 94 million people out of work, they're not going to be buying a $3,500 airline ticket to go to the Middle East. And I'm curious, how are the ISIS characters getting the tickets to go from... Listen, here's what you have to
do. I want to know how they check their nuclear bombs.
Yeah, exactly. And their biological and chemical warheads. Here's what you have to do when you leave the Middle East. Let's just say you leave in Iraq. You have to go up to Europe, and then you have to have a layover there, and then you have to go from Europe to the United States, and that's to L.A., to New York, someplace like that, go through customs, or I don't even know, man, it'd be really hard to find a flight directly into Mexico City, but then you've got to deal with the Mexican government, the immigrations and customs. So it's not easy, and it's very expensive. So who's paying for it? How's that happening? And, yeah, how do they check their weapons? So, yeah, okay. Well, we're running out of time now. So I hope that by next week we can get things together with Blog Talk, or maybe I'll do another pre-recorded show with that nurse because I really feel like a draw to do that. So on that note, I guess we will say adios, amigos. What do you say down there in Jamaica?
No problem, man. I'm on the beaches of Ocho Rios.
So it's pretty nice and hot there, huh?
Ocho Rios is always nice, except if a hurricane blows through.
Oh, right.
Then you just close your eyes.
Well, that's
next
the
thing
way.
You know, you're in Barbados.
Well, that's the way. Well, I wonder where you're going to be next week.
Who knows?
You never know with you. Well, okay. Well,
I want Anthony Bourdain's job, though.
Yeah, me too. I love that guy's show. That's a really fun show. It's the only reason I watch CNN. Well, no, that other guy's good, too. All right, we're out of time, so we'll talk with you again next week.